Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's gather and start our worship. I'd like to welcome everyone this morning to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church right here in Nolensville. We're glad to have any and everyone with us, and invite your friends and neighbors for next week. Announcements this morning. I think there's two main announcements. We have a nice new piece of furniture out in the hallway, and the top drawer slides out, and that's where all your mail will come. Your folders are in a nice, pretty file cabinet now. So please check your mailboxes. It's the one closest to Brother Jason's office, I believe. Bible study Wednesday night. Anything else? Read your bulletin. I don't know what there's. I'm sure there's announcements in it. If there's no other announcements at this time, let us greet one another with the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ that passes all understanding. So at this time, please greet your friends and neighbors and pass the peace of God's love.
Me in prayer this morning. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come unto you this Sunday morning, thankful to you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. We're told in your word to come into the sanctuary to praise your name. We're told that everything that hath breath praise the Lord. So this morning, as we open our time of worship, we just ask that every song, every prayer, the message, Lord, that you've given Micah. We just pray that it would uplift you, that as we praise you, as we worship you, we're drawn closer to you. That's our desire this morning. And we just ask, Lord, that in everything that's said or done, we honor you, we praise you, we lift up your name. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy, and just ask for your presence this morning in our service.
Thank you, Alan. All that would and could, please stand for our call to worship. O come, let us sing to the Lord.
Let us make joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise.
For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods.
In his hand are the depths of the earth.
The heights of the mountains are his also.
The sea is his, for he made it.
And the dry land which his hands have formed.
Oh, come, let us worship and bow down.
Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
Our first hymn in the hymnal today is number 262. The book of Revelations claims in the vision that was had, saw the mighty host of angels proclaiming, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." How many of you proclaim that every day?
Amen.
Because if you make it to heaven, you'll do it then. Every day until eternity. Let's start now by singing 262.
Oh,
Today, for our prayers of the people, I'm led back to the first scripture that I ever memorized as a child. And I memorized it King James Version. Today we have a different one, but it all says the same thing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long.
Please bow your heads. Lord, we come to you right now, and Lord, we're just so thankful to be gathered in your house. Lord, just please, in this time, work in us, Lord, that we might learn how to better serve you. Lord, please forgive us where we have failed. Lord, it is through your grace that we know that we can go on and we can serve you better. Lord, I would ask that you just be with us. Please take a moment for silent confession. Amen. At this time, if anyone would like to call out the names of anyone in need, praise or prayer requests.
James Lamont.
Yes. The whole Michael family.
Yeah. Philip Mayer.
Judy Judkins.
David Andesita.
Amy Wagner Harris. Melanie Soyson. Chelsea Guger. Bill Lamb. Jason Merriman.
Lord, you have heard the names of those mentioned, Lord. You know what is going on in every single case. Lord, we ask you to move in power, Lord, to give each situation peace, Lord, that peace that passes all understanding, Lord. And we ask for your healing hand. Lord, and we ask that you would be with us, all of us here that need to feel you. Now please help us to pray the prayer that you taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
How many of you have ever had vertigo? Room kind of, I see it. It's a horrible thing because you don't feel like you can trust your feet. You don't trust your balance. You don't trust your body. Now, how many of you have felt that way just about life? Yeah. The book of Deuteronomy tells us, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. While we can rely on drugs to help us stabilize our body when we have vertigo, our soul and our spirit, we have our remedy in God and Christ Jesus. And remember, we always have arms upon which we may lean. Please sing with us number 354 in the hymnal, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
Psalm 96, verses 7 through 9. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. I invite the ushers to come forth to receive our tithes and offerings at this time.
Water.
for everyone who's here today, Lord. And there are those who would really like and love to be here, God, that just watch over them and show them mercy and goodness. And Lord, we, as we have gathered your offering here, Lord, to further your kingdom, we just pray that it will be used for the glory, for your glory. And we just thank you, Lord, for being so merciful and good to us. And Lord, we love you and we thank you for loving us. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be with y'all again. So, I guess most of you know who I am. Person who used to give you rides to Ace Hardware. That's right. There's your one joke. So this year at UKIRK, which is where I work now, the campus ministry down at Middle Tennessee State University, which y'all support through food and other things like that. Jason will come speak to us from time to time. So this year at UKIRK, we've been going through a series called Unraveled. And it's actually a pretty cool series. I think y'all should check it out if you get a chance. The group that created it is called Sanctified Arts, and one of our alumni works for them, and she's one of the artists. So pretty cool and near and dear to our hearts to be able to do the Unraveled series. But today I'm going to share with y'all something from that series, because Jason called me on Saturday, or Friday, so I didn't have a ton of time to prepare anything new for today, so I'm sorry, but I think this will work pretty good. And prayers for Jason and all of that family, because they are very sick this week. Anytime Jason calls me sick, I don't know if it affects him more, but you've never heard someone sound so bad when he calls you sick. He just sounds ridiculous. But anyway, I'm going to be sharing with y'all from the Unraveled series this morning. And Sanctified Arts, they use this notion of unraveled in every sense of the word. I think a lot of times when we think of something unraveling, it's kind of that negative way. But they also use it in positive ways, like something unraveling into justice or unraveling into forgiveness or something like that. But today we're going to be looking at the story of Zacchaeus. And we are going to see how his work life comes unraveled through his encounter with Jesus. And when we did this at UKIRK, it was homecoming. And at homecoming, we move our regular worship service to a Friday night to give our alums a chance to join us. And it's an excellent scripture for homecoming, because homecoming for a college group is literally, you know, that time when everyone has this one thing in common that they've been there for. It's to advance towards their future careers. It's why they were there in that moment at UKIRK. And the scripture has a lot to say about what kind of people we should be in our jobs and in our future careers. So let's take a look at Luke 19, 1 through 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was trying to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give them to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay it back four times as much." And then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." The word of the Lord. So Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And not only that, he is the chief tax collector. What does that mean for him? Last year at UKirk, we spent a lot of time in the Gospel of Luke. And we learned a lot about Lucan writings and the people he was writing to. And I'm sure Jason has spent a lot of time in Luke here as well and kind of run through all that. My favorite gospel actually went from being Mark to Luke last year, because Luke is maybe one of the most relatable gospels for us. Luke is written to a more urban people, a people with a more stratified caste system. Luke's gospel includes everyone from the rich to poor, to maybe even some that could be considered middle class, because of their urban location. And Zacchaeus is a tax collector in this setting. And he's rich. And he isn't really liked by many. And why is that? Well, Zacchaeus didn't earn his wealth in a way that was good for the people that he collected taxes from. His methods probably weren't very equitable. Zacchaeus would have been guilty of many systemic sins. He earned his wealth off of the backs of his fellow citizens. Tax collectors were notoriously corrupt. I mean, people are probably not very prone to liking tax collectors to begin with, because what do? They take your money. But it's worse than that. They collected taxes for the empire. And then they charge a little extra, because they've got the backing of the empire, and they take a little off the top for themselves. And this might be how Zacchaeus became rich. Maybe. Another thing we learned a lot about while in Luke last year was empire. Rome. We learned how to read Rome into almost every bit of the New Testament. Rome is pulling the strings from behind the scenes or in front of your very eyes most of the time. Even in heavily Jewish areas, Rome is the power player. It's often the kingdom of Rome versus the kingdom of heaven. And one thing we know about Rome is, as long as Caesar is getting Caesar's, Caesar doesn't really care what else is going on. So tax collectors, and Zacchaeus chief among them, made a living by collecting taxes and overcharging or using other methods to defraud people of their money. And that's why Zacchaeus is not very well liked or respected, despite being rich. Has everyone here seen the payday cash places? The places that, if you give them, or well, you tell them you'll give them a huge amount of your check, they'll give you money right away. Places that profit off of the misfortunes of other people. Zacchaeus would have been a little bit like that in our modern time. He's just a businessman and no one likes him, because he's only there to really scam people out of their money. He's perpetuating an unjust system. Zacchaeus and others like him had caused a lot of people to come unraveled. But today, in our scripture, he's up in a tree, and he's trying to see Jesus. And he sees, and Jesus sees this, and he invites himself over to Zacchaeus' house. He flips the script on Zacchaeus and invites Zacchaeus to show him hospitality. And Zacchaeus does. And for some reason during this interaction, during Zacchaeus encountering Christ, his world, his vocation, everything for Zacchaeus becomes unraveled. Something changes. His life is oriented in a new direction. Has your life ever been, or has your life been oriented in a new direction since encountering Christ? There's this phrase, this motto, this mission statement that we have used at UKirk for well over a decade. Connecting faith to life. It's something that has resonated well with me for a long time. It's this question, this statement, and this affirmation. Connecting faith to life asks you to see God all around you. It asks you to take God with you into life. So many times we separate God from the rest of our lives because God belongs in church, right? God is something I do on Sunday mornings. Or we only turn to God when things aren't going so well. But connecting faith to life is a statement that affirms that God's connection, or that God has connection to all aspects of our life. And we need to remember that we can't compartmentalize God. God is in all aspects of our life, whether we like it or not. Here's the thing, Zacchaeus was a Jew. Zacchaeus probably had a faith in God, but he left that in the temple each week. He didn't practice it in his daily life. He didn't take it into his vocation. But then he encountered Christ, and his life unravels. And it unravels into radical generosity. It unravels into Zacchaeus not being able to participate in a system in the way he had up until this point. In fact, he has to undo all that he has done. Maybe Zacchaeus goes back to his job with his new worldview, this new life ethic. Maybe he connects faith to life and starts to do his job in an equitable way. In a way that instead of stemming the outbreak of the kingdom of heaven through corruption and greed and uplifting the kingdom of Caesar, maybe he's now finding a way to participate in the outbreak of the kingdom of heaven as we see in the Gospels. Maybe he is finding ways to uplift his fellow people that he encounters through work. Maybe he is finding ways to push back against the corruption of Rome. Or to give Caesar only what belongs to Caesar and only take for Zacchaeus what belongs to him. How will we connect faith to life? Have we let God into our whole lives? Are we doing kingdom work? You see, Zacchaeus went back to his job. He didn't quit. He didn't leave it. He didn't follow Jesus like the disciples did. He followed in his current vocation. He found a way to advance the kingdom of God while still working for Rome. Connecting faith to life affirms that we are called by God to a different way of life, no matter the profession we choose, no matter what activity we are undertaking. Will we connect faith to life? Will we invite God into every aspect of our lives, our jobs, everything? Will we do our jobs in equitable ways that affirm the kingdom of heaven? Ways that advance the kingdom of heaven? Ways that proclaim the saving, good power of Jesus Christ that is alive in this world? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you right now. Lord, we are just so thankful to be gathered here, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would penetrate every aspect of our lives, Lord, that our jobs, what we do, that we would do it for your glory, Lord, that when we encounter people outside of this place, Lord, we would live in a loving way, Lord, that affirms who you are. Lord, just move in our lives in a way that doesn't allow us to participate in an unjust system, Lord, but it allows us to create your world here and now. The kingdom of heaven come among us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hymn of Invitation. This is number 185 in the Renew Hymnal, which is the other hymnal in the pews. It's Sanctuary. And being able to find a place to rest in God is sometimes not easy, because things happen in life that we find that don't seem fair, that don't seem just, that don't seem kind, and we wonder, how can we trust a world that treats us this way? But part of our faith is knowing that God has a place for us to rest. And the Bible tells us when he hid Moses in the cleft of the rock, that a safe place was made by God so that even the awesome power of God would not destroy his children. How many of you take the time to find that sanctuary? Because we're about to sing about it. And it's just one short verse, but we're going to sing it several times. Just let it dwell on you. Each time you sing it again, let it sink further and further into your soul. Find your sanctuary. Find your peace. Please rise in body or spirit as you're able. A reminder that this altar is open for you to come and worship, to pray, to praise, to give your sorrows, griefs, and hopes.
Please join us in our responsible prayer.
right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there you shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Hear this benediction. Go from this place thinking about how you can further the kingdom of heaven through your actions, being a light in this world. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.